Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and p.m., Mondays at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And we also link to our guests. We, of course, will be giving that website address to you shortly. And we encourage you to go to the website, check out what our guests have to offer. If it resonates with you, run with it, go with it, have fun with it. If it doesn't, then leave it alone. We don't push anything on anybody. This is a big old smorgasbord table. You take what you like. You don't take what you don't like. And hopefully it will help you in your process of evolving and growing. We're going to be talking about evolution of a sort. We're going to be talking with a returning guest, and I'm very excited to have him on the program again because I think this is going to enlighten you as well as myself. I just find this really interesting. We're going to be talking about the nine waves of creation. Yeah, you've probably heard about these nine waves. I'm going to be reintroduced to them. I want to get a clearer, a much clearer understanding of what's going on out in the universe. The nine waves of creation, quantum physics, holographic evolution, and the destiny of humanity. My guest is the author of that and other works that have come before, Carl Johan Kalman, PhD. Thank you so much for taking time to join us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Richard. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Now, I'm actually going to start at the end because I have been asking this question for a number of years on this program, and I love getting the variety of answers that I get just because I find them rather illuminating from time to time because everybody has a different perspective. But in your subtitle, Quantum Physics, Holographic Evolution, and the Destiny of Humanity, I actually want to start there. What's the destiny of humanity? I mean, should we really be continuing as a species? Look at what a mess we have of our playground, the Earth.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is, I would say, that's one of the big and major conclusions from this work with the nine ways of creation. It's to demonstrate in a quite scientific way, I would say, that humanity actually has a destiny. And what defines this destiny are these nine ways of creation as a totality. And in particular, the ninth wave, which is the highest and most recently activated wave. That's really, you know, to the extent that humanity is able to align with that wave, to create resonance with that wave, then we are going towards what really is a destiny of humanity. That's about all really tangibly certain that I feel I can say. Exactly how that will turn out, that destiny, is another matter. But I think it seems clear from this work with the nine waves that really the destiny is ultimately to create a golden age of a world of peace and without conflicts and with divine creativity channeling through us all the time. And yes, you know, one of the big things that comes out of a study of the Mayan calendar is that so much that has happened in the history of humanity and history of the universe is really not determined, but certainly influenced by and to a large extent, I would even say, determined by a set of waves. And the discovery of these waves will then also tell us that, yes, that is the destiny of humanity. And it's those waves that define this destiny.
Now, you talk about these nine waves of creation, and maybe this is, I don't know, in a way I kind of feel like it's a little presumptuous on my part, on the part of humanity, to even ask the question, where did these nine waves come from? And almost the follow-up question would be, and why?
Yeah. come from? That could mean two different things. Do you refer to where the waves originate, or do you refer to who discovered them?
A combination of both, but I guess it's sort of like, you know, the eternal argument over the Big Bang theory.
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah, the Big Bang had to initiate from somewhere by someone. It just, yeah, it's not, you know, we're not talking about, or maybe we are talking about spontaneous combustion. I don't know. I'm not a physicist or what have you. But I know these questions are on the forefront of most people's minds because they want to have an understanding of where they came from so that they might have a better understanding of why they're here and where they're going. Those universal questions that we've been asking down through the ages.
Yeah, yeah. So then I know what you mean. This is something that this recent book of mine really addresses in depth, the origin of the universe, and meaning that we go back to the time when the sort of cosmic egg explodes, what in modern physics is referred to as the Big Bang. And what this book highlights is that in recent decades, or maybe even not more than 15 years, there's been quite some revision taking place in science of what actually happened at that particular point in time. Because the Big Bang theory goes back to a Belgian astronomer and priest, actually, in the 1920s, who was the one who developed the idea that everything comes from this primordial egg primordial atom that sort of explodes, and then over time the universe has developed from that until what we see around us. Now, in its original form, though, there is something kind of a little bit crazy about this whole idea. I mean, when we look around at the universe, at least on our own planet, and the way it looks like now, it does not look like the aftermath of a big explosion. In fact, you know, we are here as very structured biological and spiritual beings, and there's all kinds of structures everywhere. It doesn't look like debris from a big explosion. So something must have given a direction, given a structure to everything that was created and came out of this original cosmic fireball that we call the Big Bang. And what is very fascinating and what my book deals with, because it is so important for us to come back to where it all started, with as much as we can approach it with scientific methods and so forth. And what has been discovered in these past 15 years is that at a very early point in the history of the universe, and we're talking about only 300,000 years after the original Big Bang, there was left over something called the cosmic microwave background radiation that we today can measure, and which by measuring that we get some kind of a baby picture of the universe, the way the universe looked at its as far as we can go back in time. And what's been discovered now is that there existed like a big axis throughout the universe at that point in time. And this has been verified by a sequence of different satellites that have been sent out to measure this background radiation. And it's been verified in a number of different studies that the universe is not exactly the same in all directions, that this big axis actually divides the universe, almost like in a yin-yang polarity. And what this book takes as its point of departure is the statement that this cosmic axis is really what the ancient peoples of our planet would talk about as the tree of life, the cosmic tree of life that really was the creator of everything. And so the whole idea in the emerging view of the universe that comes out of this is that this cosmic axis sort of sent out geometric waves or waves creating geometries and thus gave structure in all the different levels of the universe. And so it wasn't just an explosion. It may very well have been extremely high temperatures and so forth, but at the heart of the matter is the emergence of this tree of life at that time. And so from that, everything has evolved step by step in accordance to these different waves of creation.
Very interesting. And I know that this starts to delve into areas that can get rather, I want to say murky, because of people's beliefs. The various philosophies around the world through the centuries have created their own stories about these types of things, like the Tree of Life, specifically. And whether it's literal or it's metaphorical or satirical, who knows? Yeah. And so this is kind of where we sort of start to get bogged down when we're trying to understand these kinds of things. And I have to say, I've noticed in a number of instances, specifically with television programs, they're starting to incorporate an interesting problem-solving method. Which has to do with toning down the emotions and starting to ask questions about, well, where are you coming from? Why are you doing the things that you're doing? And then they calm down and then they tell the person their story. Now, person A begins to understand, oh, I understand where you're coming from. Okay, I may not agree with it, but I understand it. I get it. And then the person B says, well, where are you coming from? So the emotions come down. And, well, here's my story and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of the sudden, you begin to have conversation and these situations that are transpiring of conflict and chaos and disorder and so forth start to fall by the wayside because they start to understand one another. And to me, what you're sharing with us in this latest work of yours, The Nine Waves of Creation, is just that. It's an opportunity for us to hear from you. And hear from you not only just as, you know, Carl Kellerman, you know, person, individual on the planet who has his own ideologies and philosophies and even agendas, as we all do, but also who is a physicist who understands the science of much of this, which most of us don't understand. I was joking with some astronomy, a group of astronomers in studio once, joking with them about how, I got some time on the Hubble telescope and I was looking for the big wall that defines the end of the universe, trying to find where does it stop? You know, it's got to stop somewhere, doesn't it? You know, or finding, you know, they say that, for example, there's a place in the Middle East that is the origin of the species. It's where it's the cradle of civilization, where man first rose up, you know, kind of thing, maybe the Garden of Eden was and the Tree of Life. How do you or do you even, does it even matter to you in reference to the science of all of this how all of this plays out in the various philosophies. Does it matter what different philosophies have to say? Or how do you mix that in with what you're talking about here?
Yeah, I think I understand the question. I mean, to begin with, the scope of science today and the hundreds of thousands of scientific journals allows for a tremendous amount of viewpoints by itself. And you might say, so nobody can cover this. Nobody has a complete overview of this. And so we all do some kind of selections based on what we think seem reasonable and so forth. Now, in my particular case, I have been guided here by the immersion that I've had in ancient cultures, based on the idea, I think, that they had some kind of an intuition or divine contact or something like that, that modern people have lost. And so through that immersion and through the study of different myths, and in particular the myths and calendrics of the ancient Maya, I have sort of been looking for the kind of things that verifies their view. I can't deny that. There's something guiding me to find the particular aspects of reality that are consistent with that. And then I have found absolutely honestly that this is a view that makes sense from so many, many perspectives. And so the next step then would be to try to create connections with all the various philosophies that are out there. And there are many, many religious philosophies, of course, and not only religious philosophies, but every individual has their own philosophy as to how to relate to the universe, and all I can do in that regard is to see where bridges can be made. Very often, it's just a matter of language differences. We are actually talking about the same things, even if a person has a religious philosophy or a scientific philosophy or something else. It's just that the language is different. The language of modern science that, you know, has discovered this new axis throughout the universe, that language is different from the mythological language of the ancients, which would rather talk about this as some kind of a living entity, some kind of a tree of life, some kind of a mythological reality. And yet, I believe these different philosophies in many, many ways really are talking about the same things, but just using different languages. And part of my work, I think, is to try to point to such commonalities between ancient and modern languages in describing the origin and evolution of the universe.
And of course, you obviously address the birth of the universe right here in chapter one, which is a good place to start because we want to start with how things kind of got put together and so forth, and it's very interesting, when you start looking at some of the and I refer to them as philosophies because that's really what they are. We choose to believe what we choose to believe. And religion, it's really gotten a bad rap, the word itself. So I try to stay away from it. Yeah. But the various philosophies, they address a lot of these types of things. For example, the birth of the universe and then the origin of, for example, you talk about the origin of the yin and the yang, which is, of course, coming from another philosophy from our perspective anyway. This is what I find fascinating. They call it from the East. But I live on the West Coast, and it's to the west. But I guess the reference points are all coming from Europe and that area when they were referring to the East and the West. And it was much closer when you went to the east from the European continent and so forth. This is fascinating. And I would like for us, if we can, there's one other thing I'd like for you to define, because there's a reference here. You have studied physical biology. And that phrase struck me. Because I'm always picking up on things like this. What other kind of biology is there other than physical?
That's a good question. I guess, you know, that's I have my title then, and I have a PhD in physical biology, and I got it from my mentor, obviously, but I don't really know what other kind of biology. I guess it really means studying biology with physical methods.
Ah, okay. Well, and that makes sense.
It's a good question. He's dead. I can't ask him, but it's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I'm always picking up on these kinds of phrases and things. It's kind of like a military intelligence. They say those are mutually exclusive terms and so on and so forth. You also talk from the perspective of quantum physics. And then I love the holographic evolution. Mm-hmm. Define for us what that means and how it relates to these nine waves. And then we'll continue on from there.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, the quantum physics has this dualism, is usually referred to, between waves and particles. And you can look at various phenomena as either waves or particles, and neither of them are exclusively right. They're just different perspectives. And in this case, the nine waves then of creation are very, very long wavelength waves that pervades the universe and are being broadcast, you might say, from the vibrations of the cosmic tree of life, ultimately. And then these waves, they are sort of they are mediated, they're sent from the cosmic tree of life, and then they are sort of mediated by the Earth, and then we humans who are in resonance with the Earth, we download a hologram, which really is a hologram of the mind. It's a hologram that creates our minds. We talked about earlier here the yin and yang polarity, and that's part of the hologram that we're downloading. This kind of distinctions that we have learned about for the past 50 years about the left and the right brain halves, these are really downloading a yin-yang polarity hologram that creates that a distinction between the brain half in how we perceive reality. So, in other words, if we would not be downloading this kind of a hologram that we're doing, that is providing us with a mind, then we wouldn't have that kind of a distinction between left and right brain halves. But we do, because we are seeing the world through a hologram of yin and yang. This hologram that then is how we everything we will see through that hologram, and then we think this is the way reality is, and then we would tend to create a reality outside of ourselves which is consistent with this hologram. And so these holograms then play a crucial role in how humanity in different eras when different kind of holograms have been downloaded, how we have created reality, social reality, political reality, economic reality, so and so forth, differently in different eras. There is something called history, changing eras of time. And these, it turns out, is very well matches the kind of hologram that we can gather from the ancient Mayan calendrics, that they define actually what how the different eras are the different natures of the different eras.
You know, when we talk about the yin and the yang, you know, obviously that's something that is, you know, light and dark, good and bad, right and wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But as you're sharing this, the thought occurred to me that when we look at a comet or a meteor, some body of material flying through outer space, and it collides with another body out in space, you know, we kind of marvel, wow, that was spectacular, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But if that same first body of material was hurtling toward Earth, oh my God, that's a bad thing. And it's like, wait a minute. It can't be both. It's either, wow, that's awesome, or it's a bad thing, because out in the universe, there is no yin and yang, right? It's because of our observations.
Yeah.
Because of that holographic download that you talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what defines our value systems, or the fact that we say some things are good and some things are bad. It's the basic distinction between those categories is being created by this hologram.
Is there a different hologram that we could download other than the dualistic hologram? And is that part of our evolution?
Exactly. That is what comes back to what we started with here, the nine waves of creation. And they each carry a particular kind of hologram that endows, especially the higher waves, endows the human mind with a particular geometry, with a particular duality that we see the reality through. Now, when I talk about the destiny of humanity as being manifested through the action of the ninth wave, it is because that particular wave, which is the top level of the pyramid, which was activated only in 2011, that particular hologram does not have a duality. It doesn't have any filters. So what this means is that when a person has downloaded that particular hologram fully, she's not inclined to project duality on the world around herself. Or she will not project duality onto other people. She will not say that that's a bad person, that's a good person. So instead, she will just see it as being part of the same reality. She will experience the other person as somebody in unity with. The duality is really then, it tends to project a filter that makes us separate. Mm-hmm. The yin, the dark side of the polarity makes creates an experience of separation, and that to the extent that humanity climbs to the top level and starts to develop a resonance with this ninth wave that doesn't have a duality, that doesn't have a filter, then humanity will be moving in a different kind of direction. And this I believe, is what was prophesized in all the Abrahamic religions, that there would be a return to what they call the Garden of Eden, which You know, to me, that's the Garden of Eden is a metaphor for the state that human beings were in before they had started to download the wave of duality, which is really the sixth wave, is the most important one. Mm-hmm. So there was a time in the past, if we go back more than 5,000 years ago, when people did not project duality. And as far as we can tell, there was much more of a unity with nature. There wasn't warfare. There wasn't different separate classes of people. There wasn't a distinction between genders. And so that kind of reality may then come back, or I would say it's destined to come back. But it will need our participation in the process. But that's really the destiny, retrieving that kind of a unity on a higher level. That's where the destiny, that's where we're all meant to go.
You know, there's a passage in the Christian philosophy book, the Bible, that says, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And years ago, I mean many years ago, 20, 25, maybe 30 years ago, I thought, well, what does that mean? You know, and so I started, you know, because I kept hearing everybody talking about this from the context, from that, you know, the context of the yin and the yang. And I thought, well, wait a minute, but God isn't good or bad, right or wrong, evil and good, that kind of, he's not dual. He's singular. I thought, so what does that mean? And it dawned on me in the Old Testament, when God is speaking is I am. And that was it. So to be perfect is just to be. Mm-hmm. And so when I finally grasped that concept, still working on making it assimilating it in every atom of my soul, of my being. But when I grasped that, I began to realize that's what it means to be perfect, not doing everything right or being a good person. It's just being who you are. So now this takes us to the next level in terms of all of this just being. That it sounds to me like the dualist hologram that we keep downloading as human beings, that ninth wave is assisting in, and this is more of a question, is assisting in the process of allowing us to download a different, higher resonance hologram, which might explain the reason why we have the great turmoils in different arenas of our civilizations in the present time, political and religious and economic, et cetera, because we have two different holograms, an old one and a new one, that are they're not fighting one another, but that one is coming along and progressively growing, and that the old one is fighting to stay alive?
Yeah. Oh, you said many things. I thought it was very beautiful what you said about the being that you know, God is just one, and it's not good and evil and so forth. That's really perceptions that we have created through our downloading of a particular hologram. And yes, that part of it, I think it's important to realize that these waves now are all continuing to run. They're running in parallel. And so they are somewhat like alternative radio stations that we could tune into, depending on which one we tune into, we will sort of perceive the world through these different holograms. Part of it, I believe, is exactly what you're saying, that there are different the turmoil today. Part of it comes out of the fact that a new possibility has emerged through the ninth wave. And I think one thing we can say about the current politics is that Not only is it unusually chaotic, but it's also that there is, you know, an increasing lack of understanding between the different viewpoints. It's not only that people are sort of as it used to be in the past, that, you know, they want to all have pieces of the cake and are fighting over how big part of the cake you should get. That is sort of normal. But today, it's just obvious that there are groups of people involved in the political scenario that are simply interpreting reality in completely different ways, and in ways that are almost unconceivable from the perspective of one of these different sides. And this has to do with this emergence, I think, of a new wave, and a couple of waves, but in particular the ninth wave, that brings one way of looking at reality that's very, very distinct from those that are looking at reality through the sixth wave and the duality that this brings. But there's more to it than that, and I hope my book explains. It's not as simple as to this, because it's also that these different waves, they are like sine waves, and so they have peaks and valleys, and on certain levels, there's been a significant shift into valleys. And especially the sixth and seventh wave have turned into the valleys. And so there is then also certain elements of dark age coming in that I would say we can only, the only way of choosing out for that is really to narrowly listening or resonating with the ninth wave. So it's partly, I would agree that it's exactly as you're saying, that a new wave has come in, and that then some will resonate with that and others will resonate with the duality. But in addition to that, it's just the fact that there is quite a complex pattern of interference between these waves, and they all have their upturns and downturns. And, you know, speaking like we do here on the radio, all you can do is really talk about generalities. But I do want to emphasize that my book is not about generalities. It really is something that goes into detail on as to our current situation in the world, and also that's all backed up based on the previous history of humankind and the kinds of ups and downs that human civilizations have displayed. Civilizations, they rise and they fall, and that's been the past of humanity. And these rise and falls, they actually match perfectly with certain waves in the Mayan calendar system and these creation waves. So it's not something, whenever these rise and falls take place, there will be an experience of chaos in humanity. And that's very understandable. But it's not in any sense randomly happening. It is happening in accordance with the kind of shifts that these waves are bringing to humanity. And I should add also that, you know, it's for the first time in history, in the history of the universe, that as of 2011, all the nine waves are up and running in parallel and together. Through their interference patterns, they are creating a new kind of reality to us, and the world is changing very rapidly since that shift happened.
It's To me, it is just utterly extraordinary. And when we come back from the break, I want to discuss the real possibilities that await us in that regard. And actually, I'm going to elaborate more on that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, Giving You Choices and Knowledge of Those Choices to Help Make Your Dreams Come True. Stay tuned. And welcome to Tell Me Your Story. Welcome back, I should say. I'm Richard Dugan, along with my very special guest. Actually, you know, it's interesting, Carl. You were on in 2015, August, 2016, August, and you just made it into 2017. And we thank you for joining us and talking about the nine waves of creation, quantum physics, holographic evolution, and the destiny of humanity. The question that I was going to ask you as we went to break has to do with this desire on my part. Now, when I was working for the Christian radio station and they were talking about Armageddon and the end of the world and, you know, the rise of the Antichrist, and then, of course, after Armageddon was the 1,000 years of peace and everything. And I was so frustrated, even though I'd only heard this message for only about 15 years, I started to say, is there any way that I can participate in making this come about faster so we can move on? Because I was so tired of that story. And now I'm coming to you and asking you, is there anything that I can do to bring about the deletion of the dualistic hologram to the newer version, 3.0, or whatever it is, that the ninth wave is or has brought?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that is the case. And I do understand your frustration. You know, my own view regarding the Christian apocalyptic scenario is that it does have some valid points. I wouldn't follow it in any detail and believe that, but I do think it has valid points, and certainly the return of the tree of life is something that's mentioned in the very last verse of the book of Revelation, and so this sort of hints the whole idea again comes to this idea of a return to unity, but much of it is also, I would say, produced through a kind of hologram of creating duality, and that is, in order to get to unity, you have to transcend that duality, and especially what I recommend now. And have been for the past couple of years, is to develop a resonance with this ninth wave. And how that will look in practice to a given individual is not something I think I can tell, because we all have our particular missions or purposes on the planet, and not only on the planet, but also as part of this evolutionary scenario that is playing out through these different waves. And so something that we, not only I, but a number of people now that are working with me are working towards is to create this kind of a resonance with the ninth wave, because this is the highest wave, and so it is the wave that will bring ourselves back to unity. And it doesn't mean that we will completely be able to eliminate all duality of the past or inside ourselves, but we will, through creating this resonance and tuning in to that particular frequency of the ninth wave, we will be able to transcend the duality and have as our basic perception of reality of coming from would would be one of unity created by this ninth wave. And so this ninth wave has a wavelength of 36 days, common days. And it goes up into a peak for 18 days, then it turns down into a valley for another 18 days. And we 2 days ago, we shifted into a valley, into a night, you might say, in this particular wave period. And these time periods have different qualities, at least for those people that have a sense that they have some intention that they want to be part of creating this kind of a unity perception of reality, unity consciousness, or what you want to call it, that the ninth wave will bring. They are experienced differently.
Yeah.
So that the peak times, they are times when there is wind on the back for anyone who's working towards these kind of this future destiny of humanity. It is like the wave that they have tuned into will support them in doing such things, in acting or being in such a way that is consistent with unity. And then you might say when it turns into a valley, that nature, which happened a couple of days ago now, then you won't have that kind of a wind on your sort of that kind of forward movement for whatever it is you're doing to create unity. Instead, you will you'll go down and it's a time more of processing yourself and whatever in you that was inconsistent with this movement towards unity, that will have to be dealt with. So it's sort of, it's an alternation, you might say, between manifestation and recreation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm finding the best word here, but it certainly is manifestation in the time periods that are peaks, and reintegration, you might say, in the time periods that are valleys. And so, what some of us are doing is, and we're working on this in different kind of ways, is to create a world movement in order to just let people know when these shift points are. So last time there was the beginning of a peak was May 24th, and we had an event where the Bushmen in South Africa. They were aware of the importance of this date, and they had a special dance there for opening the heart, and it was streamed on the Facebook. The next time the peak will begin is June 29th. And there will be some kind of a global medicine wheel that people all over are signifying that they are aware that this is the beginning of a new peak. And so we will continue to do these kind of events on these shift points in order to allow people. It's like, if somebody comes with a new radio station, it may have the best programs and so forth, but unless people know that there is such a radio station, and unless they know what frequency this radio station broadcasts as, it really doesn't help people. So that's what we're trying to do. We're basically saying there is a cosmic radio station that or waves coming out of the cosmic tree of life, and we're trying to tell people this is the frequency. You if you are able to experience for yourself in whatever your life looks like, these peaks and valleys, then you are part of the solution. Which means I don't know exactly what it means to any particular other individual, what they are supposed to do as part of this. But if they have the intention of being part of this process towards destiny of unity consciousness, and so learn how to tune into that, this will provide a tremendous guidance for anyone who has that intention. And so there really is something here that humanity can do. Mm-hmm. It's and you referred earlier to the apocalyptic Christian schemes, and I think one way that I disagree with that, as well of many other kind of prophecies that are out there, is that you get the feeling that this kind of a scenario is something that just falls down upon humanity, and that humanity has no role in relating to it or developing it or so. And that, I would say, is simply not true. There's nothing here that we should sit and wait for, so to speak. We do have a choice, an option to develop resonance with this wave of unity consciousness, and that I would say is really what we should do.
If you're just joining us, I want to remind you are listening to Tell Me Your Story. We're talking with Carl Johan Kalleman, PhD. His website is Kalleman, Kalleman.com. We encourage you to go to his website and find out about the work that he's been doing, the works that he's put together in the various volumes that he has published. You're the author of The Mayan Calendar and The Transformation of Consciousness. And I'm curious, too, because you've mentioned it a number of times, what is the correlation between the nine waves and the Mayan calendar? Because a lot of people thought, coming up to December 12th, 2012, that it was going to be the end of the world. And I still love my wife's comment about the Mayan calendar. She says, you know, back when the guy who was creating it he got to a point where he said, you know what, I had enough. I quit. And he walked off, and then that's what we have left. I thought that was a rather humorous way of looking at it rather than, oh, it's the end of the world. But you made a couple of comments, of course, about the cyclical aspects of it. But what is the correlation between the nine waves of creation and the Mayan calendar?
Well, basically, the Mayan calendar is really a system of many, many different cycles or waves, the nine waves are the most important evolutionary waves that determine the overall destiny of humanity. The Maya would build their pyramids, or at least the most significant pyramids that they had in Palenque, in Chichen Itza, in Tikal, and other places. They would build them in nine levels. Nine levels of evolution, nine levels of creation, nine waves of creation. And these waves are continuing. I can't remember what your wife said, but the guy maybe became tired of the whole thing and set an end to it. Yeah. But then that person will still have to be tired, because these waves actually go on endlessly into the future. Their influence, their relative power will change in different ways, but in principle they are eternal. The creation is created as an eternal creation, I would say. And of course, in 2012, I shouldn't say of course, but the way it played out was that somehow people associated this end of a calendar, which was really just a shift, a very significant shift in the calendar, they associated that with the end of the world. And that's a modern construct. There is absolutely nothing in the Mayan inscription that talks about an end to the world. And if you ask contemporary Mayan elders, they will not say anything like that either. So that was just a made-up story that came to, you know, largely discredit the Mayan calendar. And the History Channel made all these films about the possible end of the world, and Hollywood made a disaster movie called 2012. And so it was, you know, for whatever reason, these people were wired to believe in an end to the world and saw a way of popularizing that. But, you know, if you took it seriously, of course, it was quite damaging for anyone who seriously looked upon this as a description of the evolution of the universe. The Mayan calendar really has a lot to offer us in terms of helping us understand why we're here and how things are going. And it also, as we talked about earlier in this program, it also tells us something about what we can do as to how to actually fulfilling the destiny of this creation.
And now, am I correct that the Mayan calendar, the actual physical calendar that I've seen many times in pictures, is a series of rings that actually move, you know, as we go through the days and weeks and months and years, the cycles. And so it's not as if there is an end to it. You just, in essence, you start over. In our case, in the modern era, we buy a new calendar for the new year. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, the calendar you've seen is most likely the Aztec calendar stone, which you know, is very often used as a symbol of the Mayan calendar, but it really doesn't. The Aztecs had many aspects in common. Their calendar system had many aspects in common with the Maya, but it certainly wasn't that advanced, That particular, you know, it tells you something about these wheels of time. But that's true. There are certain wheels of time in the calendar system. But anybody will miss the point if they think that this is a purely cyclical calendar. When I say cyclical, it's like most calendars in the world are actually based on some kind of an astronomical cycle that is endlessly repeated identically, and which would give the impression that things are not going anywhere. It's just a cycle repeating itself. And that is not true for the Mayan calendar. And I think that's a very important point to make. These waves are more like directed waves. They are going somewhere. And with every peak in one of these waves, the particular phenomena that hologram brings will be strengthened step by step, more and more. It's not about returning to a previous state that in exactly the same way. So these waves can really be talked about evolutionary waves. They're not repeated but they are reinforcing, strengthening with every new peak a particular phenomenon. And that's why it's important to become aware of especially the peaks in the ninth wave, and to be able to experience that, because that way brings unity consciousness. And so what we can expect from that is that with every peak, there will be a more and reinforced expression of this unity consciousness that ultimately it's the destiny of humanity to manifest on this planet.
So you are, well, let me ask you, are you optimistic about humanity's future on the planet? This calendar, in this reference to the nine waves, it's not a predictor of our future, is it?
No, it's more complicated than that. To predict things, you will have to take all the different waves into account. And it's, we talked about earlier here that they, to some extent, the waves were in conflict, and which means that it's almost like what will happen will depend on the amounts of people or what people are resonating with what wave and so forth. I think predictions can be made, but very cautiously, because there is this element of choice in humanity as to how to relate to these different waves, and nobody can tell that for sure. I'm optimistic that it will bring in, I would say, a decade or two, we will have sort of turned the page into some reality that's not a, you know, not a perfect paradise or something like that, but a time when there will be no return to the kind of chaotic, conflictual relationships that we are experiencing at the current time. But I'm also, I want to say that I do think that the nearest future will be very, very challenging, very, very, and it will be very, very important to what extent people are actually from themselves creating the intention of manifesting this destiny of unity. That's a critical thing, I think.
I'm sure you're familiar with a woman by the name of Barbara Marx Hubbard, who has talked a great deal about this. She was one of our early guests back in 2007, and she used to describe this period of time, and of course we're talking 10 years ago, about how it was like giving birth, you know, that we were going through the birth pangs and so forth. So let me ask you, with that analogy in mind, where would you say we are in this birthing process? Are we, say, headed towards the final big push before the baby is born, and that's this big turmoil that you're talking about, this big challenging period of time, let's use that word, challenging period of time that we're facing?
Well, yeah, no, it's a wonderful lady. I actually met her 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago up in Sunrise Ranch, in where she lives nowadays in Colorado, and she keeps being a very source of inspiration. But she also recognizes now, I think, and really was pushing for the concept of nine waves to go through, and it doesn't quite fit the birth thing. Well, if you take the perspective that this is a birth over the next couple of decades, where nobody knows exactly when it's not like I wouldn't say at one point the ninth wave will start to be stronger than the other waves. Because it has been out there in a long time enough, and then I still don't think really the birth analogy applies, but to the extent that people create resonance with this ninth wave, and there will come a point when the destiny will be feeling like, yeah, we made it through, and that's what I believe.
It's also been said, too, that during these times that we are going through, regardless of the metaphor that we choose to use, it has been described that those who have chosen to come into this world are considered by those in spirit, as the term goes, to be heroes. I mean, that's kind of the way that they look at it. That they're heroes because they've chosen to be here, to go through this period to assist in the transition. So it sounds to me like this is something that's been, if you will, in the works for quite a long time.
Yeah, I would say this sort of, it's built in the way that the universe was designed from the Big Bang 16 billion years ago until the present time. It's all designed and so that we have come to this point in time where we are living in this kind of quantum field of the waves of creation that is characteristic of our own particular time. And it will take a certain kind of souls to be part of that and to help manifest this. And you could say we're heroes.
Let me ask you finally, before we wrap up the program, let me ask you in reference to this particular time period. And of course, there are a lot of people who, with all of their various diverse and various speculations as to the future. And of course, you know, a lot of us, we have our own personal desires as to what we'd like to see have happen and so forth and so on. Mm. I mean, I myself, I'm kind of tired of the conflict and the infighting. It's like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, first and foremost, we're all human beings. So let's start from there, where that's how we are all alike. Okay. And then the second level, the only difference is between the male and the female. Okay, let's not divide any further than that, okay? We're all human, and we're male or female, and as I've used the analogy, there are more than enough M-class planets, if you don't mind my using that Trekkie analogy, that each one of us, 7.5 billion people, would have their own planet to live on and rule. However, the reality is, we're all here together, which means, at least in my mind, that we're here to work together, to live together, to thrive, not just survive. Mm-hmm. Do you see us, and is there any, and again, I'm not asking for a prediction here. That would be foolish of me. But do you see a time in your lifetime, do you think, where maybe we might reach that higher consciousness level where, we're all going to be living and working and so forth together in, so to speak, in harmony outside that dualistic, holistic download?
Yeah, I think so. It all depends on you. But in the next 20 years, I think that should be clearly visible.
I'm glad I'll be alive at that time. I'm looking forward to it.
I hope to be alive as well. I would be 85 or something like that then, but that's quite possible.
Well, I'm not far behind you. I'll be 77.
Okay.
Before we let you go, first of all, thank you so much for giving us so much time here on the program. This has been fabulous to have you back here for a third time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate coming back and talking to you.
And we'll have you back again before too long, because I would love for you to continue to elucidate on these ideas and concepts that you've studied for years and you've written about in the various books that are available at your website, Kalaman.com, Kalaman.com. And if you should ever find yourself here in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I want to mention two things in addition to this. One is that there is a Facebook page, the Nine Waves of Creation Mayan Calendar. That's probably the most best to get information on what sort of the kind of events that are happening in order to help people become aware of this cycle. I should mention also, we're working on developing an app, a telephone app that will be helpful for people to synchronize activities. Not, you might say, favor the synchronization with the ninth wave, but not necessarily so. It's just anybody who has good projects for the future and wants to have people across the world aligned with those projects will probably find this particular app useful. So there are different things going on at this point in time to strengthen the manifestation of this humanity's destiny.
So again, on the Facebook, it's the Nine Waves of Creation Mayan Calendar. And they can certainly search that or even search your name, Carl Johan Kalman. Yes,
that's right. Find my name.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. And of course, you're currently residing out of Santa Fe.
Yeah, almost. I'm up in the mountains in Truchas, which is a small little village. And it's much cooler here. Up here.
So. I love the cool. I love the cool. Yeah, absolutely. And before we let you go, I've got three questions, final questions that I want to ask you. And again, thank you so much for your time. First of all, who is Carl Johan Kalman?
Oh, wow. I'm a manifestation of the divine plan of co-creating a world in peace.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve with the work that you are doing now?
Well, I think I've said that already in many ways, but it's really helping prepare the ground for a return to the Garden of Eden on a higher level, meaning it's not about going back to the kind of Stone Age life that was previously in the Garden of Eden, but still the same experience of unity that will be recreated, and that's what I want to help happen.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
Well, it is to do these things, as far as I can understand. I think there might be also many aspects of my personal development that as part of this collective process, and that I'll have to explore further.
Well, again, Carl, thank you so much for sharing with us your story, the information about the nine waves of creation, quantum physics, holographic evolution, and the destiny of humanity. And I do my utmost to stay optimistic about our destiny and hope that you and I one day will meet in person to continue to facilitate the destiny of mankind.
Exactly. I hope so.
Again, the website, by the way, one more time, is Kalleman.com, Kalleman.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.